It's here and now. Blaring trumpets and drum rolls in Florence, Italy yesterday for a reenactment of the reading of the Bando, the official proclamation giving any citizen of Florence with any knowledge of the whereabouts of one Niccolo Machiavelli just 1 hour to report to the authorities.
Fanno bandire e pubblicamente notificare a ogni e qualunque persona di qualunque stato.
Why would citizens be looking for Machiavelli? And what's a bando? Well, our next guest discovered it, and he's thrilled about its celebration. Stephen Milner is a visiting professor at Harvard's Center for Renaissance Studies and an expert on Machiavelli, whose book The Prince marks its 500th anniversary this year. Now, when you hear Machiavelli, you might think evil, but at one point he was fighting the bad guys. They put out the bando looking for him. But he lost, and lost his beloved Florence to the invading Medici family. So disillusioned, Machiavelli wrote the political guidebook, The Prince, declaring that the end justifies the means, that rulers can and should be brutal to defend themselves, that a secret drone campaign is the price to pay to defeat Al-Qaeda. Oh, wait, that might be a Machiavellian decision our sitting president just made. Let's bring in Professor Milner in Florence. So your discovery of this bando came about almost by accident.
Yes, I've been working on the figure of the town crier in Florence during the Renaissance period because I was interested in the way in which information flows through cities in the age before telephone, news media and newspapers. And it was in the course of doing this research that I came across a corpus of about 800 proclamations that were actually given out between 1460 and 1530. And within this bundle was this particular proclamation calling for information concerning the whereabouts of Machiavelli.
Yeah. Who was someone who was well-known and his family had long served Florence? He watched the invasion of his beloved city with horror. He tried to fight against the invaders. It seems almost like a sunny guy prior to the fall of Florence.
Well, we have to remember that Florence, although it was a republic, that had numerous factions and contrary currents within it. And Machiavelli actually came to some prominence, or the first we really know about him in any detail, is when he took on a job as a civil servant. He was never a politician, which is somewhat ironic given how famous he is now for being the kind of origin of realpolitik. But he was actually a civil servant, and in a sense it was that kind of proximity to power and that being able to see behind the scenes as to how the practices of government actually took place and decisions were made that gave him the perspective that ultimately he kind of reveals, I suppose, within the pages of The Prince itself. But he came to prominence within Florence during a period after the Medici had been exiled from the city because he was actually a supporter of a more broad-based democratic form of republican government that was less oligarchical and less ruled by a narrow elite. And it was only on the return of the Medici in 1512 to Florence that his fortunes took a turn for the worst.
Well, and he writes the book that some have called a handbook for gangsters because of advice like, he writes, so to secure new territory, a conqueror need merely to kill the previous ruler and all of his family members. You know, things like this. But it's interesting. I don't know if he's getting a new look, but David Brooks writes in the New York Times that he's been studying Machiavelli, and he thinks he maybe have been a more moralistic thinker. David Brooks is the one who mentions drones as being an example of something that might be seen as a Machiavellian choice, but maybe a better one than, say, boots on the ground or bomb attacks that might kill more civilians than drones do.
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum because on the one hand, Machiavelli is considered to be a real patriot and a passionate sustainer of the city of Florence. But on the other, in terms of his critical reception and what we term his fortuna, if you like, he's associated with this adjective of being Machiavellian, of being the Prince of Darkness, of being the origin of realpolitik and the ultimate spin doctor. But in fact, he was a far more sensitive and a far more vulnerable person than he's often given credit for. In fact, the majority of his works are permeated by this sense of the inconstancy of circumstances, the kind of contingency of events, and the vagaries of fortune. And in The Prince itself, he actually kind of inveighs against the malignity of fortune, which he sees as having deprived him of his standing and deprived him of his legitimate position within the bureaucracy of the regime in Florence. if he'd had his way, he would never have written The Prince. It's an irony that his misfortune is our fortune, in a sense, because he wouldn't have become the writer that he became if it hadn't been for the fact that he was actually removed from day-to-day political activity that he loved.
Do you think there's any chance, as some have said, that it was parody, that it was his way of attacking the Medici family by writing things like, when you injure someone, do it in a way meaning so completely that he cannot take revenge? You know, cultivate an enemy whom you can crush so that you can use that example to intimidate others. Do you think there was any chance that he was trying to outline what he felt the Medici family had done to him and his city?
I think there's an element to which there's a strain running through the text where he is actually reflecting on his own experience. I mean, I'm very interested in the dedicatory letter to the Medici family itself, which on the surface does appear to be a typical patronage letter within which somebody giving a text or dedicating a work to somebody will put themselves in a position of kind of abeyance, if you like, and say, you know, I am your servant, here is a book, here is my advice, please employ me. But in fact, in the dedication that Machiavelli writes, there's a kind of subtle reversal of that hierarchy. And he actually argues that he's in a better position to give them the advice that they need than they are. And there's a kind of pride. I always say he's seeking patronage, but he's desperate not to be patronized.
Well, either way, he has gone down in history with this sort of nefarious overtone to his name, and yet he didn't seem to profit from it. He died, it sounds like, insane and impoverished.
No, indeed. His fortunes never recovered after he was removed from office. He actually ended up not recovering any of the esteem or standing that he previously had. In his own lifetime, he was actually better known as a comic playwright than he was as a political writer. And The Prince itself wasn't actually published until 5 years after his death.
And yet his name has lived on in a very negative way. Renaissance Italy expert Stephen Milner of Manchester University, who discovered the 500-year-old most wanted proclamation for Niccolò Machiavelli. He is in Florence, Italy. I also want to note how fascinating it is that you're studying, you know, town criers.
Yes, no, I'm kind of interested in the verbal economy of the city, in the various ways in which speech took place, the various sites within the city, from platforms and balconies and on street corners, and how statutes sought to regulate speech as part of the kind of ordering of the city.
Again, Stephen Milner in Florence, visiting professor at Harvard's Center for Renaissance Studies, the Villa Itati. Stephen, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're more than welcome.
And courtesy of our former colleague Anna Benstead, we leave you with more of yesterday's celebration in Florence of long-ago town criers.
O sapessi chi avessi, ottenessi Niccolò di Messer Bernardo Machiavelli, lo debba, entro un'ora dall'ora del presente bando, averlo notificato a detti signori otto, sotto pena di bando di ribello e confiscazione di loro beni, notificando che, passato detto tempo, non se ne riceverà scusa alcuna!
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI. Public Radio International.